Thank you, Mr. Warren. And good afternoon, brethren, and any guests we might have. Looks like we're a little short today. Got a lot of people in Columbus to the prom. How beautiful are your feet? I thought I'd get a laugh out of that. And another thing, I thought there might be some looking down toward their feet. Maybe take your shoes off and take a good look. But you know, you're probably thinking, well, my feet are okay. They still get me where I want to go. Maybe a little bit slower for some people. But have you really looked at your feet and said, my feet are beautiful? Probably not, huh? Some have bunions. Some are crooked. Some have corns. And, you know, some are flat-footed. Some have toes, and sometimes they cross over each other. Have you ever known anyone like that, where the toes cross over each other? I have seen that. And some have been called the ugliest part of your body. Some might even stink. Let's turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, we're going to read verse 7 through 10. I want to say a howdy to those that's out on the webcast also. Almost forgot. How beautiful, verse 7, Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Verse 10, the Lord has made bare his holy arm. In the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So feet upon the mountains are beautiful feet at that. That's what it says right there in verse 7. We, you know, to understand this, we must picture ourselves for a moment back in the time of Isaiah when he lived. How long ago? Long time ago. Remember, the news traveled very, very slow back then. Well, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have electronic communications back there. They didn't have computers or TVs or even radios. Well, they didn't even have a cell phone back then. I don't understand how they got the news to where they're supposed to go. No electronic marvels that we take for granted today. All them communication products we take for granted today. They didn't even have a telegraph system back then. So how did they get their messages across? They had messengers. They had messengers who either rode a horse or made the trip on their feet. Sometimes the only way to carry a message was by foot. And they may carry that message long distance. Now, when I say long distance back then, I don't know how far that was. But if you're on foot, the long ways, uphills, over rugged, rocky terrain, over mountains. And how they got across rivers, I'm not sure. But they must have been good swimmers also. Up hills and over the rocky terrain, and they ran as fast as their feet would carry them to get that message to the destination that it was supposed to go. Of course, the news itself was not always good news. I mean, to the messenger, it didn't matter, did it? He had to carry that message, no matter if it was good news or bad news. He had to carry that message. And sometimes that message, it had that distasteful taste of really bad news. There have been times when that poor, worn-out messenger who brought bad news, and you know, he was held responsible for the type of news he brought, good or bad. He was held responsible. And there was times when the news was so bad that the messenger was beheaded because he brought bad news. On the other hand, when good news was really good, it was especially thrilling to be that messenger. If he brought good news, they probably had a party for him then. So let's turn to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, we'll read verse 25. Don't you imagine that when that messenger got to his destination that he was worn out? Probably needed a really, really cold drink of water. Verse 25 of Proverbs 25. As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Like I said, that guy probably had a party for him. So the receiving of good news is so refreshing that Isaiah praised the determined, tired, soiled feet running for all their worth. They ran. They had to get that message. I'll get it out. They had to get that message there as quick as they possibly could. Carrying a message of good news over many rugged paths, mountains, as I said earlier. And again, he said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of that messenger. The one that's bringing good tidings, hopefully. I want to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, we're going to read verse 15. Romans 10, verse 15, it says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. They don't look beautiful to me. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. Brethren, why don't you just right now take a good look at your feet? You know why? Everyone here is a messenger. You're all messengers. You know, brethren, this is a sin-sick war-weary, crime-crazed world that we live in today. And it desperately needs some good news, doesn't it? All over this world, it needs good news. And this miserable, frustrated, and suffering humanity needs to receive the incredible good news. The wonderful message that the Almighty God rules and that His rule is very good. That's very good news. And we, brethren, are the messengers, as I mentioned before. We are the messengers that are bringing that good news to the world. Right now, today, through all this electronic technology, we are broadcasting the good news throughout the world. Jimmy knows that because he puts it on that board back there, if you take a look sometime. The part in the work of God, each of us as individuals are doing that today. Each of us should periodically examine ourselves to see if we are fulfilling our part in God's work and carrying that message to the world, running that good news, that wonderful, Mr. Armstrong used to say it, and I like to hear it, that wonderful world tomorrow, taking the good news. Let's turn back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, we're going to read verse 25 through 27. Proverbs 4, verse 25, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Imagine yourself as that messenger running across this rough terrain and maybe across the mountains. Maybe that mountain just has a path on the very edge of it. Are you going to look to the right or to the left, or are you going to look straight ahead? You're going to look straight ahead. I know if I was looking around, I'd probably go over the edge of that mountain. But you're going to look straight ahead. As we run with the news that has been committed to us, we must face some of the same things, you know, these messengers faced. They faced robbers. They faced men from different countries that didn't want that message to get through. They encountered many, many different things. And we do too, brethren. We do too. We encounter counterfeit ministries. We encounter robbers. You might call them robbers because they're robbing us from maybe the truth. We don't encounter the wild animals probably that they did because we'll go in automobiles or something else. But sometimes there are other human beings that might want to stop us, as I said, from delivering the good news. Their chief weapon is persecution, although they have other weapons such as falsehood, rumors, gossip, clever arguments. I've ran into that. And deceitful teaching. Brethren, we must hold on to the teaching that we know are all true. We must hold on to that. I'm not going to turn here, but as Revelation 3:11 says, "Don't let any man take your crown." How many times have you heard that? Don't let any man take your crown. Don't lay it down. And don't walk away from it. Don't walk away from God's church. We must be very careful not to be like some of the others. It's that church in Galatia. They listened to the deceitful, seductive voices and got waylaid. The Apostle Paul lamented. Well, let's turn to Galatians 5. Everybody's beating me there today, I know. But I told a couple people that I would turn slow so they would make it there too. Galatians 5, verse 9 and 10, 9 through 11. That's not where I want. Galatians 5, 7. There we go. 7 and 8. Galatians 5, verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Back here where I was talking about the other churches are trying to persuade you. That's kind of what this is talking about. The persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It doesn't come from God, that's for sure. Now I'm going to turn back to John 8. John 10, I'm sorry. John 10, verse 8. John 10, verse 8. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Brethren, we're God's sheep, and he's our shepherd. Christ's our shepherd. We hear him, we hear God. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We can't hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God tells us we're his sheep. God tells us we're his sheep. And we are his sheep. And they don't listen to the thieves and robbers that you hear on radio and television. So we've got to close our ears to those other teachings and keep running with the good news. We are that messenger, you know. So some are like that wild animal. Turn to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You've heard that many, many times. Verse 9, resist him, and steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and to the domination, the dominion, not domination, the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes I get my words a little mixed up. There's three things that it mentioned here, and I'd like to go back and just mention them. Be sober. Be vigilant. And resist him. Resist the devil. Some say, be self-controlled and alert. And stay awake. Be you steadfast in faith. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. That's a promise from God. All along the route that we travel with this message, all along that route, there are tempting destruction, bright lights, and there's a lot of things out there that looks beautiful that might change your mind. And the world is beckoning us to stop for just a little while as we're trying to take this message to the world. They want us to stop and indulge ourselves in theirs. But we won't. We must not. I'm going back to Proverbs 4. We'll read verse 14 and 15. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And I'm going to drop down to verse 25 through 27. Again, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look before you. Look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established, and do not turn to right or left. Remove your foot from evil. If our spiritual health is poor, brethren, we may become fatigued. And if we come fatigued and our spiritual life is weakened, we may not make that run. We may not finish that run with the message. With the message, the good news that Christ brought. But we must not do that. We got to keep running. We got to keep spiritually fit. Our spiritual fitness is very essential. A fatigued runner won't make it. Won't make it with that. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. Says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So spiritual fatigue is healed by drawing closer to God. And that's how that we'll be healed. like, you know, like those washed out roads, adverse weather conditions. You've seen that here lately, the rain and many rumors encountered. We too come up against difficult obstacles. We do. To be there so we can grow stronger. And that's what them obstacles are there for. So we can grow stronger. We'll get over those obstacles. They may slow us down. May even stop us. But we will get over them. But we must keep on running. And in Romans 12, verse 21, I'm not going to turn there, but it says, be not overcome by evil. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with God. Brethren, by ourselves, you know, we cannot do it. We've got to keep our feet on the path or how to find our way. Turn to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, we're going to read verse 23. It says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not himself. We can't do it by ourselves. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. No, it is just not in man, is it? To do this. And without God, we would be like all the rest of humanity whose feet run to evil. And somewhere back there, I don't remember where it says, run to and fro. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 1, verse 15. Proverbs 1, verse 15 says, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. In other words, don't associate with them. And that's whose feet stumble in the darkness. We don't want to do that. We don't want to stumble in the darkness. Now I'm going to go back again to Proverbs 4, which is just a couple pages. I'm going to read verse 4. Proverbs 4, verse 4. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. And I want to go to verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Brethren, we got to stay with God. He is the only one that will help us get that message across. The single most important reason for which each of us has been called into God's church today is to back up and support the work of God as it bears to the world the good news of the coming kingdom of God. We've got to help get that good news across. And in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul described the armor of Christ, the armor of Christians. We're not going to turn there because we all know what the armor is. And we must put on that armor. We have been commissioned to carry a message into all the world. We have been commissioned. I will turn to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Brethren, that's what we're doing now. We are going to into all the world via satellites, website. And that's what we're doing. So, you know, can you imagine Mr. Armstrong? How many bad, crooked roads he ran probably when he first started his ministry back in Oregon? He must have ran many, many miles carrying the message. He got it across. He got it done. Today, it is our duty to carry that same good news into all the world. We are doing that, like I said, via the website. Our feet is running with that message today. Our feet carries us to our jobs. Our feet do a lot of things that we may not even appreciate. I don't know. We probably do. Let's turn to James 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We ought to pray for each other so that each of us will stay healthy in our spiritual health so that we can get that message across. David often examined the paths his feet were following. Sometimes he found they were not going the right way. So what did he do then? If you'll turn to Psalms 119, we'll read verse 59 and 60. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 59, and here's what he said. "I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." Brethren, we got to do that. We got to keep God's commandments. Throughout Jesus' whole life, he set examples for us that we should follow his steps. And brethren, what big steps them were to follow. But we must follow them. You know, the Bible has some interesting things to say about the future of the feet. You would be surprised how many verses in the Bible there is about your feet. I was surprised, but I didn't count them. There's a lot. Let's turn to Malachi 4. Malachi 4, just before Matthew. We're going to read verse 2 and 3. Malachi 4, verse 2. "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Oreb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments, the commandments. One day soon, brethren, the rest of the whole world will understand how really good is the message that we are bringing, brethren. Think about that. The message that we are bringing and that we are carrying. Someday they will praise our feet as Israel prophesied. John also wrote of such an occasion in Revelation 3:9. Let's go ahead and turn there. Revelation 3:9. Revelation 3:9 says, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. And because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know, that awesome time, you know, is part of the good news that we're taking to the world. We have been given it, we have been given that good news to carry that to all the world, which we are doing today. So, brethren, your feet are heading in the right direction. Don't look to the left or the right. You may stumble and fall. But it says back there that you won't, because God's going to be with you. He's going to be guiding your path. Like in Hebrews 2 verse 8. Let's turn to Hebrews 2 verse 8. That's my last scripture. Hebrews 2 verse 8, it says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that, he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. All things is not revealed to us yet, but it will be. It will be in the future, but not yet. But yet we do not see all things that's put under him. But brethren, we will soon.